Welcome to another edition of the Sea Control Podcast, your moment of PowerPoint rehab from the Center for International Maritime Security. Now to all of our listeners who work for Defense Secretary Ash Carter, you're not allowed to use PowerPoint anymore, so you don't need rehab. Congratulations to you. We hope you still listen. After a long and relaxing hiatus, I am, as always, your semi-helpful host and director of online content here at SimSec, Matthew Hipple. Today's topic will be the Gulf of Guinea Maritime Security Exercise, Obungame Express, and we are joined by its American Officer in Tactical Control, Captain Renko, United States Navy, and Cameroonian Operations Officer, Commander Sune. We will discuss the exercise and the capabilities it is meant to cultivate. Obungame Express also involves a diverse collection of militaries, national and regional maritime security institutions, cultures, and infrastructure, so we will discuss the real-life challenges and lessons learned when building interoperability amongst such a diverse cast. So sit back, relax, and we will be back with Captain Renko and Commander Sune after this short break.
Do you like the Sea Control Podcast? Sure, we all do. However, we're only a small sea in the ocean of content available to you, our dear listener, at the SimSec website. Sign up for a membership at www.cimsec.org/about/membership. China may have a 9-dash line, but our seas are clear, and we welcome your opinions and articles. Please take a moment while downloading this podcast to leave us a 5-star rating and a comment. We need them. Seriously, how do you think we pay this electric bill? Money?
And welcome back. Today we will be talking about the international exercise Obungame Express in the Gulf of Guinea. As many of you have seen here at SimSec, we do pride ourselves on our coverage of African maritime and naval security issues. So it's very exciting after Dirk Steffen's review of 2014's Obungame Express that we're going to be interviewing participants in this year's Obungame Express. And we have here U.S. Navy Captain John Renko, as well as Cameroonian Navy Commander Emmanuel Sone. Both of you gentlemen, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Now, as we do at the beginning of every podcast, I like to give the guests the chance to introduce themselves. We could read a long bio, but everybody knows that gets really irritating. You gentlemen especially, showing up to events, I'm sure you hear the same thing over and over again. So, Captain, first I'll open it up to you. Where are you from? Kind of give the audience a feel from where your perspective is rooted in.
Yeah, I'm Captain John Renko. I'm the Commodore of Task Force 63 stationed in Naples, Italy, and I am the U.S. 6th Fleet Officer in Tactical Command of Obungame Express. I'm originally from Western New York, grew up in a small town called Great Valley, and got my commission through Navy ROTC. I have a surface warfare officer background with a specialty in Navy nuclear power. I've had command of a frigate stationed out in San Diego, and I'm currently in command of Task Force 63 and Military Sealift Command Europe and Africa, primarily running logistics assets that supply U.S. naval vessels throughout 6th Fleet.
Perfect. This should go well, then. We've got two ROTC guys that did frigate tours here on the podcast, at least. Commander Sone, if you could please introduce yourself to the audience.
Yeah, hi. This is Commander Sone. I'm a commander. I work at Navy headquarters in Cameroon. My background also, like Captain Rinko, is in the Surface Navy. I trained at the U.S. Naval Academy, 1997 graduate. And right now I work as operations officer at Navy headquarters. I was born in Cameroon and along the coast. So I really like maritime operations.
Perfect. Well, I'll just throw it open real plain at the beginning here. Gentlemen, if you could describe, I've given a very, very short description of what Obungame Express is, but maybe you could describe what the exercise is and the types of, as we understand it from Dirk's article last year, this is to build maritime security in the Gulf of Guinea, which involves a lot of countering maritime crime. And maybe you could describe in what Obungame Express is some of those issues that Obungame Express is trying to build capacity against and train people to react to?
Yeah, well, OpenCom Express 2015, as you mentioned, is a exercise that involves 23 partner nations, 12 of our African partner nations, 9 from Europe, one of our South American partners, and the United States. And the exercise is focused on increasing regional cooperation, maritime domain awareness, information sharing, and improving interoperabilities of our forces to enhance maritime security in the region. The focus of our efforts for this specific exercise are we've divided them into 4 zones consistent with some of the zones that are being used down here under the Yoni Code of Conduct. And we have exercises that are improving the information sharing amongst the region and the capacity of the maritime forces here and our partner interoperability in the maritime forces to counter illicit trafficking, illegal fishing, piracy, and security for our energy and natural resources. So that's the basics of what we are trying to do here during the exercise. 51 vessels, 21 maritime operation centers, 3 maritime patrol aircraft, and 3 helicopters, all involved. And any given day here over the course of the 7-day exercise, there's generally 16 vessels underway conducting on average 7 boarding events amongst the other training that we are doing.
Gentlemen, if you could, boardings come as sort of a second nature when one's thinking about maritime security. So, Captain, you mentioned amongst other types of exercises. Maybe you could describe some things that our audience is less familiar with, and if you could also describe in short the code of conduct. You mentioned the code of conduct earlier as part of the concept of this exercise and how it relates to it. If you could give a short description to the audience of what that code of conduct is.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me start with the other types of training that are involved down here. Aside from training the boarding search and seizure teams from the various militaries and maritime forces of our 12 partner nations, we are also involved in search and rescue operations training, medical and emergency response at sea. Those are the two other big elements that we are continuing to work down here. Aside from the land-based mission, which is really critical in the conduct of this exercise, we are focused heavily on the maritime operations centers, the 21 centers around the Gulf of Guinea from and Cape Cote d'Ivoire down to Angola that are exercising command and control of our partner nation vessels at sea and sharing the information required to provide the appropriate locating data to our forces so they can go interdict and prosecute vessels of interest and vessels of concern that may be carrying out illicit activities. So those are the other type of trainings we're doing. I'm going to turn it over to Commander Sone, and he will talk a little bit about Yoni Code of Conduct and what that means to the region.
Yes, thank you, Captain. The Yoni Code of Conduct came about because we realized that there wasn't any kind of information sharing, especially across economic communities in Africa. We had ECOWAS on one side, ICAS on the other. And even though they individually had arrangements to share information among themselves, we didn't have a Gulf of Guinea-wide code. So the code of conduct actually calls for information sharing across the board and interoperability. And if you look at the framework of the exercise this year, it actually reflects that, because we are focused more on the operational level, how operational centers can share information in real time. And that takes away from the previous years where it was focused on the tactical level, search and seizure at sea, visit board, search and seizure at sea, VBSS. This year it's more about operations. How do we coordinate operations between countries, especially when it comes to transnational crime, because that's really what we are facing. The Yaoundé Code of Conduct came about because of that. Individual countries might be good in addressing their issues, but when it comes to transborder crime, we saw that we were really deficient in that regard. So the Yaoundé Code of Conduct calls for the creation of the Interregional Coordination Center, the ICC, which was inaugurated on the 11th of September 2014. And it also calls for regional centers, CRESMAC for the Central African subregion and CRESMAO for the West African subregion, to coordinate activities first within economic communities, and then calls on the ICC to encourage information sharing across the board.
Well, that's a good lead-in to the next question that naturally comes out of both the Obengame Express exercise and the Ione Code of Conduct. So Obengame Express is almost, you could say, an extreme test of this attempt to integrate international organizations, the nations themselves, the institutions within those nations. There's a whole series of moving parts, and Commander Sune, you are an operations officer by trade. This involves a lot of maritime operations centers. What do you see as some of the challenges in general with integrating all these institutions, and in particular when you take this attempt to integrate all these institutions and you rapidly accelerate it for a singular exercise like Obengame Express?
Well, I think Obengame Express has the merit of not just building capacity, but it comes to test what already exists on the ground. And as I said earlier, it's very easy for countries to coordinate operations within themselves, but when it comes to coordinating across borders, it's particularly difficult. We have cultural issues, we have language issues, we have equipment issues, infrastructure and all that. So with Obengame Express, we actually do real-time tests what we have on the ground, and it also permits us to build that capacity to communicate. We had one scenario that needed the transfer of a target vessel from Nigeria, which was under Zone E, to Cameroon under Zone D. And that was the first time it was being done. But the lessons we've learned from that particular exercise will help us to build a workable scenario in real time.
Obengame Express has been going for several years now. In relation to those institutional, cultural, and language challenges, I mean, I'm sure the list could be vast, even in institutions that are rather established like NATO. Those challenges still exist, so one could never imagine they'd all disappear. But what are some of the improvements that have been seen and implemented specifically through the years as these exercises have been continuing?
Thank you. That's a very important question. You see, over the years, Obengame has come to test, be like a real-time test, but that's not the only engagement of the U.S. on the continent. They do training, they do infrastructure, they actually do small-scale training within countries. And so when Obengame comes around, it's a culminating point where we put all these things together. For example, in Cameroon, the U.S. is building our MOC, you know, the Maritime Operations Center. The U.S. is training a lot of our personnel, both in Cameroon and in the U.S. So when the exercise comes around, all these people who have been trained, they use the equipment provided to actually carry out the real-time exercise. It's not just in Cameroon, it's across the board. So in the long run, you have people with similar skills using interoperable equipment, actually carrying out real-life operations. So with Obengame Express, it is a chain that is actually being built. It started in 2010 with just three countries that were really close to each other. Right now, we are able to conduct operations between Angola, way down there in the south, all the way to Cote d'Ivoire, way out there in the west. So it has come a long way, and the rapid growth and the interest shown within the region just shows how important it is to us to participate.
For both of you, when you're exposed to all these countries, different kinds of ships, different kinds of way of operating, what are some lessons that you've learned, Captain, from the different countries that you've been exposed to and their different ways of operating? And Commander, same question to you as well. Something that you've seen in another country or from another operator that you've either integrated into the exercise as a whole, or you've said, wow, that's a really interesting tidbit, or I hadn't thought of that before, and you've taken that home and thought about how to integrate that into your own national naval operations?
Well, I'll start with that. The from my perspective, being a U.S. naval officer, I think it's interesting to watch over the 2 years that I've been involved in the exercise, the capacity of the nations that are involved and how quickly they're able to improve across the scale from very tactical level operations, visit board, search and seizure, up to the operational level that we are looking at today, where we are focused on the information sharing. So the piece that comes through clear is that while the infrastructure here, the infrastructure really that we need to be able to execute in this environment is very basic. We are using basic VHF and high frequency radio systems and off the shelf commercial technologies that are readily available and can be used effectively to command and control the forces on a small scale. And that's a piece that we in the U.S. Navy don't exercise as much as our partner nations down here. So it's always interesting to watch them and their mode of command and control in that environment. So we take away that piece from us. I think the other piece I'd take away is that we recognize the difficulty, as Commander Sone mentioned, with cultural differences and across the national lines of the communicating across the region. And from my perspective, at the level that we are operating at with gentlemen like Commander Sone and others in the region, their interpersonal relationships that they're developing throughout the conduct of the exercise are only going to continue to improve the communications between the nations and in the regions as these gentlemen continue to move up in their organizations. Their participation here is really having an impact on us and how we are working and training to build that capacity in this region and in the region on watching these guys work together as a team to go after this critical element of maritime security. So I'll pass it over to Commander Sone and let him take that question as well.
Thank you, Captain. From an African perspective, I will still go back to the communication piece. You know, through Obangame, we discover simple ways of communicating that are actually very affordable. Things that are so simple that it's amazing we didn't think of it earlier. You know, we use the internet. Just having internet connection in every mock has permitted us to be able to chat on the internet and conduct real life operations. And it's really amazing what we learn from here. You asked earlier about what I as an African have learned from this exercise that I would want to take back home. I would say it's standard operating procedures. You know, we realize that there are certain countries that are way ahead of us in terms of the way they organize maritime operations. And we have standard operating procedures that we can copy. And those things are very easy to adapt to our own national environment. You know, those things, the way an operation center functions in Europe won't be that much different from the way it functions here in Africa. So we have learned a lot in that regard, just in terms of organizing maritime operations at a national level. So to me, that's a very, very big takeaway. And as the captain mentioned also earlier, I have friends now from all neighboring countries, down south, Gabon, Equatorial Guinea, and to the west, Nigeria, Togo, Ghana. So when I have an issue with these countries on the maritime domain, I have a number and an email I can contact them directly. So that's the beauty of this exercise.
You're speaking, I think, at a higher level with institutions, Maritime Operations Center. I'd actually like to throw in a small anecdote myself. As a JO, I did Africa Partnership Station, and it was really interesting for me as a JO, not even from a tactical or operational, but gain an appreciation for the different experiences of officers from different countries. Is that the one officer may be from a country with one unified military who's done army operations, who's done naval operations, has fought people in the jungle and at sea, and then other folks with a heritage that comes from the Royal Navy and how they operate. So just as a JO, not even these sort of more grand concepts of joint interoperability, but for the folks involved, I'm sure that this gives them an even greater appreciation for just how different militaries are, and to appreciate, kind of integrate that in how they look at the world and how different people operate and react to what they do as naval officers. So I found that particularly rewarding. And in light of that idea of learning how different people operate and how they view the world, maybe you could describe, in your encounters with 23 different countries, some obviously more old hands at participating in Obongame Express, do you think different countries have sort of characters? Maybe one or two of the participants have interestingly different rules of engagement or a different way of doing business. Maybe if you want to call out one or two folks and say the Brazilians, they seem to operate this way, or the United States, I notice they operate this way in comparison to someone else. Maybe sort of flesh out the panoply of different faces and characters and ways of doing business that you see during Obongame Express.
Well, you know, I'll start on that, and I guess I think you mentioned Dirk's article from last year, and I think one of the things that caught me and one of the things that we continue to see here throughout the course of our exercise that's interesting for us to watch when we are interacting with a group of partner nations who are on the front line of conducting anti-piracy and illegal illicit trafficking. You know, they are much more aggressive in many respects than we would normally be from a U.S. perspective. You know, they understand that every time they don't, whether it's an exercise or not, that every time they approach a vessel, they are putting themselves in harm's way. And so the aggressiveness that they show in maneuvering their ships, the aggressiveness that they show in embarking and appropriately securing an area, they certainly are an aggressive force, and we see that amongst the partner nations, and that comes from their real world operational experience. So that's a good piece for us to do. You know, as you remember, back in the 90s, and when we were all where we still are, in the Arabian Gulf, and we were doing all kinds of maritime interdiction operations, and that aggressiveness was important then. And you see the same type of aggressiveness amongst the nations here. And that, to me, is interesting to watch from a perspective that's a little ways away from the action. But that would be the piece that I would offer there. I'll let Commander Sione answer that as well.
Yes, sir. Thank you. From an African perspective, too, I look at other countries, the way they react to certain situations, and it's different. And it reflects their culture. It reflects their reality. You know, there are some countries that have been more exposed to piracy threats than others in Africa. And when you look at their stance, just like the captain said, they will be more aggressive towards the way they do VCDSS than others. When you also look at the level of organization within zones, because we have zones set up under the ICC, the Interregional Coordination Center, we have the CRESMAC, the CRESMAO. And within CRESMAC, you have Zone A and Zone D. Zone A hasn't been stood up for 6 years now. Zone D has been functioning ever since. The two were created at the same time. That's just because the threats were more within Zone D than they were in Zone A. So basically, these differences reflect reality, the type of threats they face, and how important maritime security is to them at that particular time. And that's just my perspective that I think ties in with what the captain just said. Thank you.
So before we close out, how do the two of you see Obongame Express changing? What can you say we've put in the bag that has been accomplished and is now not something being developed. Although it's fair, we're always developing, but to the point where you say, this is now a tool in the kit, I'm confident with this, and where not only we're going to go because of the capabilities we want to develop, but also how the maritime security environment is going to change. What's the Obengame Express of the future? What's going to be its concerns? What is going to be its exercises? And where will we go? And yeah, sorry. Wow, I am going to be. I need my coffee today. I skipped breakfast. Anyway, sorry. Let's lead forward with that question. So whoever would like to answer first.
Okay, I'll start. I'll understand that. First of all, I think Obengame has been going on for 6 years now, and it's really growing. It still has ways to go before you can say that it has accomplished its objectives. You know, if you look on the continent, especially on the Atlantic side of the continent, I can't speak for the other parts because I'm not really familiar with that. But on the Atlantic side, coast of the continent, this is the only one true maritime exercise we have. So stopping that now, rejoicing about what we have achieved so far, I think will be premature. We're still developing relationships. We're still developing our regional organizations to be strong enough to be able to walk alone. Right now, we're still in the hands of our partners. I'll call them foreign partners, as it's foreign, not on the continent, to help us through this process. We are growing, and I think there is pride for America and other partner nations to take in what we have achieved so far. This year is particularly exciting because we are going from the tactical level to the operational level. We have looked at the past 5 years. We've always focused on incident board, search and seizure. We were counting how many boardings we could do at sea within a space of a week. We gathered all these companies within an operational zone at sea and just counted boardings. It was good at the time because that was the start. Now we have moved to the operational level. DBSS is still important, but we want to see how we can manage transnational crimes across nations. One important piece again this year is involving civilian agencies. That was a very big theme, and for a country like Cameroon, to us, that is the biggest theme this year. As we speak, we have 35 different representatives from our government agencies and from other private sectors who are interested in maritime security, who participated in a search and rescue and maritime pollution exercise in Cameroonian waters. So that just tells you where Obengame is going. We are not there yet, so I think it would be tough for us to pack up and leave right now. Thank you.
So, you know, Karasana hit most of the highlights. I would say that this is the fifth year of the exercise. Since its inception in 2010, the participation in the exercise is more than quadrupled. So, you know, 23 nations now participating is just indicative of the importance of this region, not just on a regional perspective, but in the global economic market that we live in today. So I think from my perspective, what we've seen is that over the 5 years, we keep introducing new countries. We have five new maritime operational centers that we stood up and have just practiced, brought into the exercise this year. We've got at least two countries that are new to this exercise this year. So we're expanding the exercise, and when we expand the exercise, it means we bring in partners that have a range of capabilities, both from the tactical level of being able to do the visit board search and seizure piece up to the operational level and the flow of communications required to quickly identify and localize a vessel of interest and respond and prosecute to it with the national level of authorities that are required in order to pursue and prosecute the vessel. So we're still working across the range with our partner nations from tactical level, visit board search and seizure type of events in some countries to the higher operational levels in others. And as we go forward, You know, we have the leading partners like Cameroon, like Nigeria, like Ghana, that are, you know, kind of taking the lead in the exercise in the region and are starting to recognize the importance of interagency play in the execution of maritime security. And they are starting to pull the interagency, other agencies from the governmental organizations into this exercise because they recognize that while combating piracy and illicit activity across national borders at sea is a very difficult task and one that we need to continue and they need to continue to work with communication plots to expeditiously prosecute those vessels across borders. They're also recognized the importance of several agencies inside their own governments that need to come together from, you know, military to fisheries to the legal aspect. They all have to be in coordination so that when you prosecute somebody at sea, you can see it through to fruition at the other end, you know, on the justice side. So it's great to watch that in action. And I think as we move Obengami Express forward, it's an annual exercise. We'll continue to, you know, it is kind of a culmination, as Commander Sone mentioned earlier, of other activities that occur throughout the year in this region under the African Partnership Station. But as we continue to move forward, this we will be continuing to push not only into the interregional nation-to-nation communications required to enhance and improve maritime security, but also the interagency governmental institutions that need to be brought into play to make sure that we take the prosecution of these, you know, bad actors through to, you know, to a judicious end. So that's where I think we'll continue to focus in the years going forward. I just think it's, you know, from the U.S. perspective, my perspective, it's an exciting time down here. It's a great place to operate. The nations, our partner nations, are heavily invested in the exercise and in the security training that we do throughout the year. They're actively dedicating their resources. They're committed to train. They're committed to get better. And we continue to see that improvement. And it is a pleasure to come down here and engage with the professionals that we get to engage with on a daily basis and watch how hard they are working inside of their own government agencies, inside their own militaries to really continue to improve in this critical aspect that not only affects their own economies, it impacts the global economic market.
And I would say from an African perspective, we look forward to Obengami Express every year because it's an opportunity to train and to learn. We've learned a lot this year. The exercise is not over yet, but we've already had some great lessons learned, and we look forward to correcting these mistakes next year. So thank you.
And if you want to learn more about some of these exercises, you can go to africom.mil, and there's a What We Do tab and with an exercises section, and that has a whole bunch of different exercises, who's participating in it, a little bit of their history and what they can do. And, of course, I'm sure you can follow up with the folks over there at their PAO shop and things like that, and they'll be happy to give you all sorts of information. Gentlemen, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you here on the podcast. This has been a lot of fun. I'm really happy to be able to follow up with Obengami Express from last year, and you've given us a lot of insight. So, really, thank you for taking your time out and giving us this little education today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. It's important for us to have this outreach to be able to communicate not only with our partner nations and their media and then U.S. media to really let them know what's, you know, what the exciting things that are happening in the maritime security environment and why it's so important for us to continue to dedicate resources to that end. So thanks for taking your time to have us on today.
It's all fun for me. The pleasure's mine.